Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly favored. Praise God. This is the night the Lord has made. We will rejoice because we have a choice, the power to choose. It's incredible, isn't it, that we have power to choose. So the more things you choose that are good, the better things are, aren't they? So the more things you choose that are bad, the worse things are. I mean, anybody can figure that out, I hope. Amen. You know, God is moving in a wonderful way. We just got back from New York and it was glorious. We did an anointing service and it was wonderful. And things are happening. God is moving in a tremendous way, in multiple ways. He's the restorer. Amen. And not only is he the restorer, but he's the empowerer. And there's a place to where not only that we walk in God's power. See, God's power is, you know, we have power to choose. Amen. And even in this power to choose, it's not the power that it's out of man. It's the power out of God. Because only the power of God can give you to make the right choice. It's the power of self that gives you the wrong choice. And it's amazing to where people are still battling after a period of time of going through processes and deliverance and all kinds. They're still battling with addiction. It's crazy. There should be no battle. Should be victory. The only reason why people are still battling with addiction after they've been freed, it's because they choose to be addicted. They like it. You know why? Because you'll depart of anything you don't like. Does everybody understand? You mean I like getting high? Yep, you do. People love to be miserable. They don't know why. I like to be miserable. You know why? To them, that's the old comfort zone. Miserable. Then they want to draw everybody else in their misery. Did you ever hear that? What is that? Misery draws company or whatever? I don't know. Misery loves company. You know what kind of company it loves? Demons. Because only demons bring misery. You know, there was a gentleman that was expressing about how he's been a witch for multiple years. And he had finally gotten saved. And one of the things that he said he could see the seal on those who were spirit-filled. He could see the seal on them. It would glow. They couldn't get near them. The demons could not get near them. The only way that the demons could get near them is to get into somebody else and get near them. And then he saw he could see that the seal on some of them, the light was barely shining. But on some of them, it was bright. Why? Because people still touch on unclean things and think it's okay. See, what will draw you, it will dim your light. And demons know. We are in a time and season again where, in fact, the beginning of this year was known as the sword of the spirit because it would be the year of exposure. The purpose of exposure is to cut your enemy's head off. Not for you to associate with them and play with them or dance with them. Amen? And we're seeing wickedness. Wickedness doesn't care anymore because they know their time is short. So they're out full blown. We see them everywhere. They don't care no more. And so not only is it a year of exposure because it's being exposed so that demonic forces can be cut off and we can take possession. In other words, it's our responsibility to force out darkness. Amen? So darkness is either being forced in you or you're forcing it out. And even the word tells us that if your light begins to become dark or dim, darkness is overtaking you. Amen. So in this time and season that we're in is a season of exposure to expose our enemy and to expose some of impurities. So what? So we can repent, get washed by the blood, and get back into true God's presence. Because there is a presence that people just have an emotional presence. It's an emotional thing, but it's really not God's presence. So can do all the emotion they want. But see, God's presence brings change. God's presence changes the heart and turns a new man. That's why we come into God's presence with all of our might, all of our strength. That's why we embrace him. Why? Because we leave with a new heart and we become another person, his son and daughter. Because if you're not changing in God's presence, then you're playing games. So everybody understand this. This is how we're to examine ourselves. If I'm not changing. What do you mean? If changing has to do with empowering over deception. Has to do with changing what? Okay, so I know this. I'm changing. All right, I'm not doing that no more. That means I just changed. Amen? I'm changing. I'm no longer relying on myself. I'm relying on him. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 1? 1 John chapter 1. That's good. In verse 5, would you read it with me, please? And this is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is what? No darkness. I love it. It says at all. At all. So there's no gray area, is there? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, in other words, walking in darkness means you're walking in sin or in deception. Amen. We lie and do not practice the truth. Why? Because if you're practicing the truth, you won't be overtaken by darkness. Amen. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us, or his word is not being manifested. Because the word says something very powerful. It says, if you, his word is null, has no work if it's not mixed with faith. To be mixed with faith, you must hear it and see it, and then do it. In other words, you believe, you receive, and you execute, or else you're not walking in faith. Amen. See, many people hear, but they don't do nothing with it. Yeah. Those are listeners, not hearers. So that's why many people walk in assumption. They assume. It's called presumptuous sin. It's actually sin. They assume things. They assume this. They assume that. Well, I assume this. In fact, in our ministry, assumption is the number one no-no. Do not assume. Amen. Don't assume. Why? Because it always gets you in trouble. Let's go on. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we have known him if we what? Keep his commandments. Again, the commandments are not the Ten Commandments. His commandments are words that he speaks. In other words, this word is his commandments. Every word of God is a command. Amen. People always look at this, man, I can't keep the Ten Commandments. Why not? Spirit in you is greater than he is in the world. The fact that the commandments are in us. We already know what the Ten Commandments are. My goodness. Those are just parts of boundaries. But we're accountable for more than the Ten Commandments now. Because it says you better be more righteous than the scribes. And the scribes wrote the Ten Commandments. Amen. They've kept all the laws and everything else and all the rituals and traditions. He said you need to be more righteous than the scribes. Is everybody okay? And verse 4. It says, he who says that I what? Know him and does not keep his commandments is a what? How would you like to stand before God and him say, you liar. But Lord, I love you. You lie. Snap. But Lord, you know, he said, you lie. Don't lie to me, he says. Because if you loved me, you would obey me. That's relationship, isn't it? Other than that, it's really not a relationship. It's a presumptuous relationship. Isn't that a terrible thing to have a presumptuous relationship with someone? Well, I assume they'll do this. I assume they'll do that. Man, you don't know what the heck they're going to do. But when you know someone, you know what they do. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In other words, that person is not using the truth. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Does everybody get that? Just as he walked. There is something vitally important that God is bringing to us in this arena. People have this presumption that walking in the Spirit is an emotional thing. It's not an emotional thing. Don't get me wrong. There's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. But even familiar spirits can come up and give you a good goosebump feeling. Come on, when you did dope, you got a goosebump feeling. And you got scared out of the heck. So even walking in the Spirit, there's another arena, because it says, if we walk in the Spirit, let us also live in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, it means walking in a resurrected life. That means you and I should be living an ascension life. If we're not living an ascension life, we're not walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit. See, living and walking in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit unless you're living in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. And Ephesians chapter 4. So living and walking in the Spirit is walking in a relationship where you're waiting for the next command. There's always a connection. Is this you, Lord? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this how I'm supposed to do it? Amen. That's the wisdom of God, what tells us what to do, and understanding of God tells us how to do it. And then there's an area where they're combined called discernment, and that says it's time or not time. It's time or not time. And all of this is an area that's established in a true relationship, not an assumption. That's why the word says, see, if we're really living in the Spirit, then walking in the Spirit is telling you things to come. Amen? If he's telling you things that are going to happen, he's giving you the ability to see things all the way through of every decision you and I make. What's the end result? What's the end result? If you're not seeing the end result, you're not in the Spirit. And it may be a short-term end result. I'm not talking about all the way till you're giving up your last breath. There's three types of will. There's a short-term, a middle-term, and a long-term. But if you can't see the short-term, you ain't going to see the long-term anyways. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the enemy puts traps and says he shoots darts at us every single day. Even while you sleep, you're getting attacked. But if you can't discern these things, it's because you're really not living and walking in the Spirit. So there's something preventing you. There's a wall. It's usually contamination. And again, there's always an announcement when the Spirit comes, but there's never an announcement when he leaves. He's not going to say, I left you. Most people don't even know the Spirit's left them because they're still busy with their own foolishness. They're using other things to think that the Spirit of God is promoting them or with them. Usually it's materialism, how much money they make, how things are happening, things are this, things are that, or whatever it is. But eventually, the rug's going to come out from underneath, and there's going to be a major fall. In Ephesians 4 and verse 7, would you read it with me, please? But to each one of us, what? Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he what? Ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this is, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Here's something important to know. To descend is conform, and to ascend is transform. To descend is conform, and to ascend is transform. That's why you and I must be living in ascension life. That's a resurrection life, because we are being transformed, not conformed. Conform means you're still playing games. That's what the world does, plays games. Still touches unclean things, still lives for itself. Amen? Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all of heaven, that he might fill all things. See, one of the things he's talking about is he ascended on high and led captivity. What? Captive. In other words, he freed them. To live in an ascension life is freedom. That's where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. He has access to every part of your life. You don't say, no, 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 no. You can't have this, can't have, well, maybe later. No, no, you say, wide open. I am naked before you because I truly do love you. See, without saying, well, you can say you love him, but if you're not willing to be naked before him, then you don't. You have an assumption relationship, not a true one. And God wants a true relationship. Amen. In other words, that relationship is temporary. We all need to have an eternal one. In verse 11, and it says something powerful, and he said, and he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man. That means immovable, steadfast. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, or the anointing. Yes, the anointing. Because the gates of hell can't prevail against the anointing. Does everybody understand that? So if you're not living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, then the anointing isn't there. That we should no longer be children. Hello. What do children do? Play, whine, grumble, complain. Woe is me. Touch unclean things. I mean, they always touch everything, don't they? Stick their fingers in sockets and everything else. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking to the truth in love, may what? Grow up, man, in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined knit and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If you're not growing, then you're going backwards. Amen. You're either growing or you're not growing, one or the other. An ascension life. When he says to descend also is associated with denying yourself. Because you can't, unless you die, you can't live. That is a spiritual law. Amen? You must die to you to live. So descension is denying yourself. It's death to self. Ascension is to get the new life so that we're living an ascension life. We're living a resurrection life. And the only way to maintain that is constantly be dead to you. So you're not in an assumption. You are surrendered to the will of God, to the presence of God. You want more of him. You're not out to please man. Amen. And if you can't be accountable to men, how can you be accountable to God? It's impossible. Is everybody okay? Dissolve. What's happening again? That's an arena where we have to dissolve our old nature daily. Amen. Deny yourself. Kill that thing. 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to talk more about something that I'll tell you, the Lord gave me a powerful revelation while I was away, and I'm going to try and bring a teaching out of it Sunday, God willing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 1. For we know that if our what earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we what? Groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, and not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that what? Mortality. Mortality is your carnal nature. Maybe what? Swallowed up by what? The new nature, which is life. So that's why we say it's a good day to what? Die. Yes, it is. It's a great day to die. To who? Yourself. Not only that, we want an honorable death anyways. Praise God. Now he who is what? Prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a what? Guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Again, mortality is the old nature, the carnal nature, so that it becomes swallowed up. Again, we want to continue to keep that place and position of dissolving ourselves, the old man. Amen? It is a position that you and I constantly get into. It's called God's presence. Why? So the anointing is constantly. Look at, you remember when Jesus, when the woman came in, they broke the alabaster box and everybody's going, man, we could use that cash to feed the poor. Jesus said, man, you got the poor with you all the time. This anointing, this oil is for my death. Did he not come to die so that he could give life? What makes you think you're going to just get life without dying? No way. You used to be living for you, thinking you're somebody when you ain't nothing. Amen? We're only something in him, not in anything else. Only in him are we complete, not in us. So what the enemy tries to do is always prevent you from abiding, getting in. Is everybody okay? See, in this, he said, man, we desire to be further clothed with immortality. If you don't have a desire for immortality, then there's something wrong. There's contamination. Now, mortality is necessary in this realm, isn't it? And it's also a hindrance, isn't it? Of course, it is if we have that only in mind, in our thoughts. Amen? But we must reach a position to where immortality is overtaking the power of mortality, which is living an ascension life. In other words, your divine nature has dominion over your carnal nature in everything you do. That is living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. That's living an ascension life. Why? Living an ascension life sets you in heavenly places and seats you and blesses you with every spiritual blessing. That's living an ascension life. Other than that, you're trying to bless yourself all the time. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. You know, did you ever wonder where oppression comes from? I mean, it's nothing but fear. Fear is oppression. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and sound mind. That's if you're living in an ascension life. Verse 7, what does it say? But we have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always what? Delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we what? Don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't quit. We press in. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we don't look at the things which are what? Seen. But the things that are not seen, and you can only do that by living and walking in the Spirit. That's living an ascension life. Because other than that, you won't see all the way through. You won't see. Does everybody get it? Because that's what Jesus came to bring, sight. And then we won't see all the way through. We won't discern. We won't understand what's motivating us. We won't, again, what did we just talk about? Look at the powers of darkness, the demons see the seal on you, whether it's bright or not. Amen? When it's not so bright, they can get close to you. When it's bright, they can't get near you. The only way they can get near you is if they're in someone else. Amen? Does everybody understand that? So if they're getting near you and they're in someone else, how are you going to see it if you're not living an ascension life? They'll be offering you things and you'll just be going, okay, because you're actually not living in the Spirit anymore. And who knows, after you've already touched whatever, the spirit of might have lifted from you, and you don't even know it. Amen? So we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we want to come to that place where the power is not of us, but is of God, isn't it? 2 Timothy 2. Ascension life. Living a ascension life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, let's speak it. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hello. These are eternal soldiers, immortal soldiers. That's who we are. That's what the word says. He who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. That means that new spirit, which is immortal, living in and walking in the Spirit, makes you an ascension being of God Almighty, one of his offsprings. That's how we live an ascension life. He says, look it, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with what? The affairs of this life, that he may please him who what? Enlisted him. Now this is phenomenal. Entanglements are associations with earthly things. Relationships of natural, the natural will. Has everybody got it? Of influence, of persuasion that will keep an individual connected to the old nature. He said, do not entangle yourself with these. Everything must be maintained. Does everybody hear me? Everything must be maintained at a distance, so not to overtake you. These are boundaries that are set for each child of God. Now, there are internal and external boundaries that the Holy Spirit sets. I'm going to say it again, that there are internal and external boundaries that the Holy Spirit sets. You know, we've always heard of people, places, and things. Well, then there's the boundaries of thoughts, communications, and verbalizations. There's the boundaries of emotion, thoughts, emotions. There's the boundaries of desire. These are internal boundaries. See, so many people are only looking at the external boundaries and not the internal boundaries. There's that arena where if we're living and walking in the Spirit, we're in ascension life, there is that witness within us, not only that we are children of God, but he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. In other words, that's maintaining your identity, because the carnal man is still looking for identity, the old man. The new one, the eternal one, the immortal one, knows. That's why he's called a son or daughter of God Almighty. These are boundaries that are set by the Holy Spirit if you're paying attention. Amen? There's always an arena that you want more of God. If you don't want more of God, then there's something wrong. Philippians chapter 3. The natural man lives in demon management. It manages. It tries to manage. Eventually, it will overtake them. But it lives a life of management, not freedom. Philippians. Come on, Philip. Chapter 3, verse 7. Did I say? Oh, that's Colossians. Philippians 3, 7. Is everybody there? But what things we gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, for the anointing, for the presence. Amen. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as what? Rubbish. That I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, that I may what? Know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his what? Death. Oh, it's a good day to die. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, without dying, there's no power. You'd be doing your own power. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but one thing I do, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. To be conformed to his death is to know the power of an ascension life. Does everybody understand? You can't be touched. And you know when the fiery dart is getting close, you burn it before it even gets there. Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 1. Thank you, my Lord. Living an ascension life. You know, for me personally, living an ascension life, without living an ascension life when the Lord comes, I don't know if you go home or not. Do you understand it? You think about this. Why? He's taking ones that are with him already. See, I don't have to, he's not going to come and take me. I'm already with him. Amen? So either if I'm not with him, then I'm not with him. But if I'm living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, I'm living an ascension life. I'm already with him. I'm there. It's not a form of act. It's a life. That's why he gave us a formula. Die daily. Die daily. Why? Because you don't know when he's coming. Romans 6 and verse 1, please. Is everybody okay? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Heck no. Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or what? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his what? Death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. What life is that? Ascension life. Yes. Are we walking in it? This is where you have to examine yourself. Are you walking in it? Or are you still walking in your carnal, boneheaded stuff? Still fulfilling the lusts of your flesh? Still wanting your life? Still wanting to manipulate? Still wanting to lie? Still wanting to hide? God don't see this. I'll just turn the lights off. Remember, you are being judged every day by your intent. Every day. What you're being judged on today will come to pass. It's called sow and reap. Verse 5. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. Knowing that our old man was what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Does everybody say that? He who has died to what? Yourself is free from sin, or else you're still having sin abound upon you. Again, the whole thing here is living and walking in the Spirit, living an ascension life. That means there's got to be connection with the Eternal One. And it's connected by the Holy Spirit to the Father. In the name of Jesus. So you're always looking at denying yourself. You're never looking at promoting yourself. You're never looking at pleasing yourself. You're always looking at pleasing him. or else you're not living a Christian life. That's what's called Christ-like. Jesus came to die for me and you and I are supposed to be dying for him so that others can see our life, because it's his life, not ours anymore. Amen? So you and I don't have a life. We said we've given our life to him, that his life can possess us. Oh, glory. Let's read 7 one more time. For he who has died has been freed from what? Sin. So the moment you start living again, sin will come. What did the Lord tell Cain? Isn't it what? Knocking at your door. And it ain't heaven knocking at your door either. Demons, knock, knock, knocking at your door. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives for who? God. Yes. Beautiful. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to what? Sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do you understand? He says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That's pretty wild. He's saying you're supposed to be taking dominion over the sin of your old man. Get rid of it. What? Force out sin. We're going to be talking more about that later. Drive it out. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, which is the plan. Amen? The plan. That's why God says, I resist the proud, but I give my plan to the humble. Grace. Glory. Acts 17. Hallelujah. Acts 17, do you see where it says, to the unknown God? It's in around verse 23. To the unknown God. And Paul was telling him, he says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. I think he's talking to some Christians too. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and what? Boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and what? Find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his what? Offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of stupidity or ignorance, God has overlooked, but now commands, everyone say commands, all men everywhere to what? Repent, that means turn away. Amen. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has also given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Matthew chapter 12. Pre-appointed boundaries. So again, there are boundaries that the Holy Spirit sets, internal and external. Amen. People, places, and things, associations bring impartations, don't they? So what you're associating with will be imparting in you. Matthew 12, please. Hallelujah. Verse 46. While Jesus was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside and seeking to speak with you. And Jesus answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward all his disciples. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Grab hold of this. Jesus placed everything in a divine order to put a distance. He put a distance. Again, boundaries are set for distances. Does everybody understand that? They're set for distance. There should be a distance between you and anything and everything. Anything that would entangle or try to promote your old self. There should be a distance. In other words, you don't associate with the music no more. You don't associate with this. You don't associate. Unless God tells you, you don't do nothing. Because if you walk in assumption, you'll have immigration of demons. Jesus placed everything in a divine order, put a distance of the physical and spiritual from him. That's why he went and prayed every day, every night, sometimes all night long. When he prayed in the garden, his human nature cried out. And what did it say? If it is possible, let this cup pass me by. But his divine nature superseded with not my will, but your will. Somebody, that's why he sweat blood. You can't get in divine order when you are torn between two worlds. You just can't. It doesn't work. The divine nature cannot be used by human nature, but the human nature can be used by the divine nature. Why? Because it comes to a place of dethroning. Dethroning. You can't. The human nature must be dethroned. Again, that's why we say we deny ourselves, die daily. Amen. So the divine nature cannot be used by the human nature. It can't be. But the human nature can be used by the divine nature by dethroning it. Now, human nature is a hindrance, isn't it? Unless it's taking dominion, it must be dethroned. Now, in this, as you're living and walking in the Spirit, amen, what's happening, the power of God is burning up everything that is not spiritual and and dissolving everything that isn't going to assist you in your perfection. It begins to burn away impurities if you let it. Remember, God always asks. He never forces. He doesn't come unless you invite him. Does everybody understand that? He's not gonna come and rescue you without an invitation. And many times, his rescue is usually not the way you think he's going to do it. He's got a specific plan for your rescue and everything. Amen? Because he's going to turn it into training. And he's going to turn it into training and trust. Amen? Because you know if you can't trust someone, hello. And look at it. If somebody can't trust God, can you trust them? No. Again, dying brings life. Amen? And if there really isn't a relationship, true relationship, then you're not trying to please him. Amen? Then it's an assumptional, carnal relationship. That's religious, isn't it? I mean, that's just religious stuff. So it's knowledge relationship. Well, I know the word. I know God because I know the word. I know what page he's on today. Amen? But there's real, because see, when there's true relationship, there's conviction. And I'm going to tell you, there's conviction every single day, every day, if there's truly a relationship. And it's not a chastisement. Amen? It's like, yo, what you doing? Or don't go that way. Come on, let's go this way. Oh, okay, sir. And there's a sorry, because we are sensitive to his presence, his voice, and his love. Amen? Other than that, that's not really living and walking in the Spirit, is it? Oh, hallelujah. Again, in that divine nature, we become so dependent on God. There's a oneness. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody okay? 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. As is what? Verse 3, divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, or control over self, the old nature, the mortal part, to self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For these things are yours and abound, if You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Why? I can't see it all the way through. Why? Because they're not living an ascension life. Can't see it all the way through. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more what? Diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never be what? You will never what? Stumble. Why? Because you're solid. Solid. Everyone say, I'm solid. Why are you solid? Because you're in divine position. You have divine power and you got a divine nature because you're living an ascension life. You're not only living, but you're walking in the Spirit of God. Everything is clean. It's like drinking clean water all the time. You certainly want to drink water that was discolored. Amen. Or things floating in it. Amen. You want crystal clear water. And that crystal clear water, you can see all the way through. 2 Corinthians 6. So things must be kept at a what? Distance. Flesh book must be kept at a distance. Technology must be kept at a distance. Music must be kept at a distance. Amen? All of these things, the more, the better things that are distant from you that can influence or activate your old man, the better you are. Distance. 2 Corinthians 6:11, please. Do not be what? Oh, all Corinthians. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your what? Your affections. In other words, restrictions by associations of earthly entanglements. That's what you're being restricted because of your earthly entanglements. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Don't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Here we are, people, places, and things, right? For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? And what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. 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 Idols promote yourself. Amen? And there are also things that are worshipped. And people don't even realize that they worship them. Anything that's between you and God is worship. And what agreement has the idol of God, or the temple of God, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I'll walk with them, I'll be their God. And they'll be my people. If you will come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. And don't touch the unclean entanglements, and I'll receive you and be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Restriction. You are restricted by associations of earthly entanglements, not kept at a distance, that influence or persuade the nullifying of the divine nature. Amen? You know, there's nothing greater than living a life without fear, a life without torment. We are just hallelujah all the time. In Colossians chapter 3. So when he says, do not touch, come out from among me. In other words, there's that distance. There must be a distance kept. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Everybody there? Everybody okay? Praise God. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your thoughts, your mind, your desires on those things above and not on the what? Earth. For you what? For you what? For you what? For you died and your life is hidden in Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to what? Death, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. That's anything desiring that's unclean or out of God's time. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you're supposed to, you yourselves are to be putting off what? All of these things, which is what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man, the old nature, with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but what? Christ is all and in all. You know, it's amazing because the scripture says that even the elect will be deceived in the latter days. And many believers who are at one time free, filled, joyful, are now back in the cycle of deception. What a terrible place to be. Amen? But we're to be putting off that stuff. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll close here. We must live an ascension life. Amen? That means you're living a resurrected life. By what? by being dead, so that everything is at a distance, so that you are not entangled with anything that would promote the old man. Ephesians chapter 2. Again, we talked about inward boundaries and internal and external. How many of you know pride is an internal boundary? Yeah. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Can we speak it there? Now therefore you are no longer what? Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built for a dwelling place of God, where? In the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. So people are either being built for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, or another dwelling place of demons, one or the other, to get to someone that's in the Spirit. But that person can't get them if truly that person is living an ascension life. That's a desire. Then you ask him, Lord, I want to live that life. I want to live a life that pleases you. I want to know you. Help me die for your glory. Ask him. He waits every day for you to cry out to him. Every day. Lord, you know I can't do anything without you. I'm an idiot without you. I'm a bonehead. And I'm destructive. Amen. I'm dangerous. But I want to be armed and dangerous for you. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and the price that you showed us. You paid the price. You showed us. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. So simply spoken, but such a difficult thing sometimes. Because the path is narrow and difficult, and not many enter into it. So Lord, we want to be those that are chosen and faithful. Chosen and faithful. Help us to live the ascension life, that we may bring glory to your name and be sons and daughters that are pleasing to you. Help us maintain the distance of all things that would entangle us to promote the carnal man. Lord, we give you glory and we thank you. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound and continue to fill us and dress us with your presence and your glory, so that your will is always manifested and that your face is always before us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Be blessed and stay dressed with his glory.